Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday service. We are not able to meet face-to-face, but we can still honor our Lord through the internet, and so we are doing that this morning. And it is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to the mothers in our service, and we just ask or pray that you'd have a blessed day today, and Lord, to continue to bless this worship this morning, Lord, as we lift up your name. We just want to give you all praise and glory. So we love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Troubling times, and we bless your name in all things, Lord, the good and the bad, Lord. When it's all as it should be, we bless your name, and when there's pain in the offering, we bless your name. Just have to remember, Lord, that you're the one who's in control of all things, and that we need to just put our trust and faith in you, and that's what we're going to do. Yes, Lord.
Rise, we upon the Lord, we upon the Lord, we
everlasting God who does not grow weary, Lord. You do not grow weary, Lord. We do, but you don't. And we want to rely upon that, Lord, because it's times when we can become very weary. And we need your strength. So we pray, God, that you would continue to bless us with your strength through this troubling time that we have right now.
What a powerful name. Thank you, Tom and Vince, for the worship. Awesome. Awesome job. And again, this morning, we want to wish all you moms, all you wives, single moms, a very, very happy Mother's Day. You're very special to the Lord and special to us husbands and fathers and children. And hope you have a blessed day this morning. And so I'm not going to really do a Mother's Day service because there's really no one here this morning, but we're together in spirit. And I'll wait till that day when we can gather together and we can once more. And I think of Jesus. I think maybe just a little bit of what Jesus felt when he said, hey, I'm not going to drink of the vine until I drink it with you in heaven. When the rapture comes and everybody's caught up and we'll be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we'll feast and drink of the vine. We'll have that communion with Jesus once more. And I know Jesus longs for that as much as many of us are longing to meet again, you know, in person. And so this morning, I want to share out of the book of Acts, the first chapter of Acts this morning. So if you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, we'll begin there. But as you're doing that, I want to open up with prayer and say, Lord, Father God, that you would bless us this morning and you would bless the moms, Lord. Let it be a special day, even though we're going through this COVID-19 pandemic and all these regulations and wanting to see our grandchildren, wanting to hold them, touch them, hang out with them, Lord. And I know many are fearful of that, of their children, and that's okay. But, Lord, we pray that you would bless the moms. Lord, you bless our wives and our moms, and it would be a special day still. And somehow, Lord, we can show them that. And this morning's service, Lord, just bless it and let it, not one word fall to the ground, touch the ground, but may it pierce our heart, Lord. And just bless us this morning as we see, talk about Jesus. It's because it's all about Jesus, especially in times like this, Lord, where our faith has to kick in. Our faith has to operate. And we have to live by faith now and use our faith. May the word of God strengthen our faith, because you said that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So strengthen our faith this morning and as we look to Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, I still can hear everybody saying amen. So praise God. So again, Acts chapter 1, look at verse 1. So we're going to read the first three verses and go from there. Or four, depending on, we'll see. Okay, verse 1. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, have given commandments to the apostle whom he had chosen, and to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, and being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So again, we want to look at Jesus after his crucifixion. And we're talking about now his resurrection here. And in the first verse of Acts, we're talking about Luke here writing it. And he says that it's the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So you hear what I said here now. Again, it's an account of all that Jesus begun both to do and teach. Now, a former account that Luke is referring to is the first book that Luke wrote. We're talking about the Gospel of Luke. I mean, that's the one that bears his name on it, right? Because it's the Gospel of Luke. But in the Gospel of Luke, Luke is speaking of the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not about his life. He's not talking about the life of Luke. Now, the book of Luke, it does have his name on it, but the story he tells is not about himself. It's about the life of Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think that it's much like us, because our lives are like a book. We're an open book. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 through 3, he says, listen, church, to what he says. He says, you are our epistle written on our hearts, and you're known and you're read by all men. And clearly you are in an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, and that is of the heart. So those who have been born again, those who have received Jesus Christ into their hearts, should be walking with the Lord. And the proof is in the name that you bear. The proof is in the name that you're representing and being an example of. The proof is that you're not the same anymore. We changed. We're different. We have been forgiven. We have been chosen. We have been justified. We have been sanctified. We have been cleansed from our sins. We have been set free. And it's only because of the name that you are bearing, the name above all names, which is Jesus Christ. In fact, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Paul said that there is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I can't save you. You can't walk around and say, okay, hey, are you born again? Are you saved? Who saved you? Oh, I'm saved because of Pastor Steve. No. If anything, they may throw rocks at you because of Pastor Steve. It's only one name you can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 1, because Luke says the former account that he's made, and he's talking to Theophilus, he says it's all of that, of all what Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now again, you guys, many times you heard me that Theophilus, that's the name that I want the Lord to give me when I get into heaven. Because Theophilus means lover of God. So the question for you this morning is, what makes a lover of God? Okay? And you know, it's a very simple question. Even a caveman can answer it. You remember that commercial, that Geico commercial where it says, even a caveman can do it? Well, what makes a lover of God? Simple, guys. What makes a lover of God is one who loves God. And so the question is, do you love God this morning? And why do you love him? Well, John answers that question because he tells us, the Apostle John, he tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, he said this, we love him because he first loved who? He first loved us. Isn't that very simple and so basic, but yet so powerful to know that we love God because he first loved us, not because we love him, then he loved us. No, he first loved us. But what is this type of love that God loved us with? And it's actually the same type of love that we need to love with also. And in the Greek, the word love that Jesus first loved us with and God loved us with, in the Greek, it's called agape. It's agape love. It's a godly love. And you need to know, how does this kind of love express itself? Well, if you have God's love in you, how does it express itself through you? Well, Paul, he gives us an excellent description and the answer to that question now. Okay, that's another question. How does agape love express itself through you? Well, Paul answers that, and he answers it through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know it well. You know that chapter. I know it can be a very convicting chapter, and at the same time a very comforting and a very precious, precious chapter. But look what he says about a love that wants to express itself through us. He says this in verse 4. He says that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, I'm talking about agape love, the same love that Jesus loves us with, love never fails. Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Agape love. And then if you go into chapter 14, Paul, who obviously is inspired by the Holy Spirit, he gives us this, he admonishes us to what? Let love be your greatest goal as a child of God. Let it be your focus. Let it be your purpose. Because he tells us that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Listen to what he says. He says, pursue what? Pursue agape love. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So I want to encourage you this morning that you would pursue to what? To be a lover of God. I want you to be a Theophilus this morning as you're listening to me. Be a lover of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it shows us that. That it shows us, I just read it, that God's love is what? For you and for me, it's unconditional. God loves us with the love that is described here in 13. I mean, remember, I just read it. He loves you so much that he what? He sent his son to die on the cross for you so that you could have eternal life in heaven, but also that you can have an abundant born-again life here on earth. In fact, Peter called it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 4. Listen to what he says about this abundant life here on this earth. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So not only do we have hope, guys, but listen, we have a new living hope, and that's through Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. He died openly. He died in public. Not in secret. He didn't die secretly for us. Or he didn't die like those who condemned him behind closed doors. He walked from the judgment seat of Pilate, which was also called the Praetorium. He walked from that judgment seat to the place of his crucifixion on Mount Calvary. He was openly beaten, openly mocked and spit upon the Romans and also the people he came for. So he died violently, he died painfully, he died shamefully, and he did it for us. He did it for us. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because of Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 tells us, Paul says, as it is written, there's no one righteous, no, not one. There is no one here that can say, I am righteous, I am perfect, I am without sin. Why? Because the word of God tells us this. And because the Lord is the only one who is holy and he's a just God. And sin, it's just the opposite of who he is. Therefore, sin must be punished. Jesus came so that he can become a substitute for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. Because, guys, we deserve to die for our sins. But Jesus died in our place instead because he was without sin. And all the sins of the world were placed upon him. A man who knew no sin was sinless, took on the whole sins of the world upon himself. And yet, he did it willingly. Jesus willingly took the punishment and the death that we deserve to have. It was us who were born natural sinners, not Jesus. In fact, Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. He said, therefore, just as through one man sin enter into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Did you hear that? All sinned. So every one of us was affected by Adam's sin. Because of his willful disobedience, There are no exceptions. No one is exempt from it. There are no get out of jail free cards. There are no free passes. There's no shortcuts. We all have to face the music. We all are born natural sinners. And we all fall short because of one trespass, Adam's, which resulted in the condemnation for all people. In verse 18, Romans chapter 5, that's what he said. He said, therefore, as through one man, offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. And then in 19, he says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Bummer, right? Isn't that a bummer? Wow, Lord, we're hopeless, we're doomed. We're all sinners, and we all share the same condemnation because we are all children of Adam. But, listen to me, but praise God, because in Romans chapter 5, 18 and 19, it also tells us, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So also by one man's obedience, which one man, who's that man? Jesus. He says, many will be made righteous. Isn't it a blessing to know that we were saved and we are in right standing before God because of the righteousness of Christ, because of his obedience, even unto the death, unto his death on the cross. And his love, it's not based on our performances. It's not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's not based on our abilities, on our gifts, our wisdom, and our knowledge. Hey, money can't buy us love. At least not agape love, not godly love. And Christ loved you so much that while you were still a sinner, that's when he died for you. When you were the worst you could be, he died for you. God's love for you it's unconditional and undeserving. And he loves us in spite of our disobedience, in spite of our unfaithfulness, our weaknesses, our sinfulness, our selfishness. And he loves us enough that he loved us enough that he provided a way out, a way to eternal life. Remember when he cried on the cross, he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Let me tell you this. If God loved and Jesus loved those who were used to put him on the cross, who were big religious hypocrites, who were sinners also, and if he loved them that much to ask that his Father, Heavenly Father, would forgive them, can you imagine how much he loves you and is pleased as you seek to please him and to be obedient to him? I mean, look at verse 1. Luke says, hey, it's all of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, there's three key words in verse 1. Listen what they are. The word begin, the word do, and the word teach. Because these three words, they're describing the ministry of Jesus. They're describing the beginning of his ministry, the very prime of his ministry, and the continuing of his ministry. Now, first of all, now, the last chapter of the book of Luke is not the end of Jesus' ministry. Just because, you know, Luke ends at a certain chapter, that's not the end of his ministry. But it's the beginning of all that Jesus done and all that he has done after he rose from the dead. Because here in the book of Acts, we see Jesus here continuing to do and continuing to teach. He continues to heal. He continues to raise the dead, both spiritually and physically. He continues to move among the church and to minister to his people. Only now he's going to do it through the disciples. So he didn't stop the work of the Father just because he was put to death on the cross. Don't forget that, guys. He rose from the dead. It's like that saying, Friday he was nailed to the cross. But Sunday is coming. And that means he's going to rise from the dead. And I love that because Jesus rose from the dead and he's still doing the work of the Father. Now in the last chapter, even in the last chapter of the book of Acts, it's not the end of Jesus' ministry also. because he continues to do his work through us, you and me. We are the church, not the building. This building is not the church because there's no one sitting in here. I'm by myself. We are the church, the people. Even though the COVID-19 virus is keeping us from gathering in the church building physically, but again, the building is not the church. The true believers are the church. And we are still meeting and having church in our own personal relationship with Christ. And it's like what Hebrews 13 tells us in verse 8. It says, you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, one of Jesus' character is that he is immutable. That means he never changes in his character. He never changes in his will. And he never changes in his promises. Now, the word begin here in verse 1. Guys, it's not a past tense word or a work, but a present tense. It's talking about now. For us to continue the work that he started at the beginning of creation. And remember, he will finish it till the end. Because that's what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us. It says that we need to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? What he started in your life, he will complete it. So, it's an account of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That's what he's talking about in verse 1. Look at it. He says here, Luke is saying the former account, O Theophilus, of what Jesus began both to do and to teach. And to do and to teach. So when he says to do and to teach, Luke tells us that, you know what? Listen, because this is important. Luke tells us that we have to do it first before what? We can teach it. I mean, that's what the people said about Jesus. They said he doesn't teach like the Pharisees, but he teaches like one with authority. And that's because why? He fulfilled the word of God. He lived it out before the people because he was the word of God. And that's the type of teaching, one with authority, that will have an impact on others. It's like what Francis of Assisi said. He said, you got to witness at all times, and if need be, use words. We're talking about being a silent witness. We're talking about witnessing through our actions and through our behavior. So again, and Paul tells us also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, he says this. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, that's what they said about Jesus. The people, when they saw Jesus teaching, they said, wow, the kingdom of God is not of word, it's a power. He doesn't teach like those of the Pharisees. He teaches with authority because he lives it. He shows it. He's exhibiting it. And this is what they said about Jesus. And this is also the type of teaching that James also tells us that we need to do. Because in James chapter 1, verse 22, listen to what James says. He says, church, be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I mean, was Jesus just a hearer of his words and he didn't do it? What he said he was going to do something, did he not do it or did he not do it? He did it. Now, again, verse 1 is talking about of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And look at verse 2. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he gave the commandment to the apostles whom he chosen. So again, he kept serving his Father until the day that he was taken up. So here in verse 2 is where Luke ends the book of Luke. And he starts the book of Acts because he shares about Jesus giving his teachings, giving his commandments to those he had chosen. We're talking about his apostles, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And these 12 men will be the first who would carry his message of salvation to the world after he is taken up to the Father. So Jesus had to pour into those he chose. He had to pour into them his commandments so that they could know them, they can live them, and they can go and teach them, just like us. Jesus is still pouring in his disciples today, his people. That's you and me. That's the church. And so the apostles were chosen just like we are chosen. We're chosen by Jesus. And how does that make you feel this morning to know that you are chosen? Well, let me really encourage you with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, because listen to what Paul says. He says that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Be encouraged with that he knew you before the foundations of the world existed. God knew you already before anything existed, but he knew you so that we could be holy and without blame before him in love, and had predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praises and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Listen to what he says. He says, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptance. So listen to what I'm saying here. And accepted by faith. He said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Save sinners, of whom you are the chief of them. No, it doesn't really say that. It says, whom I am the chief. See, Paul saw him the chief of all sinners. He says, I am the biggest sinner of everybody else, and because that's how he felt about himself. But yet he was worthy of acceptance because of Jesus came into the world to save him. And if Paul was the chief of all sinners, that would make you the commander of all sinners, and that would make me the president of all sinners. But he says, but how be it? For this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Isn't it great to know that our lives are a pattern? Okay, your life is a pattern, and it's a pattern to those who are going to get saved and accept Jesus because of your life, because of you being accepted by Jesus Christ, because you were once lost, but now you're found, because you were a sinner, but now you're saved. And so you're going to be a pattern for others. Now look what he says in verse 3. He says, so after he was taken up through the Holy Spirit, he gave these commandments to his apostles who he had chosen, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, and being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Guys, this is how Jesus works. Now listen, in verse 3, Luke tells us that first he presents himself to you. Okay, he presents himself to you. And he clearly shows you what he requires of you. He presents himself to you. Then after presenting himself to you, then he speaks to you. So everything that has to do with the Lord is him presenting himself to you for the purpose of what? Of what? Of speaking to you. You just have to have eyes to see and not blinded eyes. You have to have ears to hear and not deaf ears. And you have to have a heart of flesh and not a hardened heart. Don't have a feral heart. In 1 John chapter 14, verse 12, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Guys, Jesus said that because he has to go to the Father, and he has gone to the Father, we will have the power to do good, great works, and the power to do the very same works that Jesus did. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he is still doing the work of the Father, but he's doing it through those who will let him do it. He's doing it through us today, through the church. He's still working in the power. I mean, just look at how many people are getting saved through this COVID-19 virus and this stay-at-home regulation and not being able to come to church here. over 40,000, over 40,000 people have given their lives to the Lord just through Greg Laurie's ministry. That's not including Philip McIntosh's ministry or Miles McPherson's ministry. Thousands of people, ministries throughout the whole country, and I'm going to say through the whole global world, how many people are getting saved. So we see him still doing the work of the Father, but he's doing it through us who will let him. Now listen to what verse 3 says. It says that to him who he has predestined himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, and that he was seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus died, he presented himself alive, not dead. When they went to the tomb, they didn't find a dead body. They found nothing. He presented himself alive, not dead. And he spoke about the things of God. I mean, this is how he works. And this is how he wants us to be. Listen to what Romans chapter 12 of Paul said in verse 1 and 2. He says, chapter 12, verse, okay, listen. He says, therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and his in pleasing and perfect will. Are you, this morning, are you a living sacrifice or are you a dead sacrifice? Are you roadkill or are you a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your life of worshiping God, is being a living sacrifice to him. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, it tells us that he showed up to his disciples over a period of 40 days, giving them assurance and understanding that even though they would no longer see him in the flesh or visibly, but that he would never leave them nor forsake them. You know what? He revealed himself with many infallible proofs. Jesus gave many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Listen to what the word proofs mean in the Greeks, in the Greek. It means positive proof. See, Jesus gave positive proof. He gave convincing proof. He gave sure signs and ways that he proved to them that he resurrected. And these proofs went on for 40 days after he rose from the dead. And he spoke with them. Jesus spoke with them after he rose from the dead. He walked with them. He ate with them. He was felt by many. These are infallible proofs. These are signs and facts that he truly rose again. And I think we need to ask ourselves this morning, what infallible proofs do we need to believe? Or what do we need, what kind of proofs that Jesus has to show us in order for us to step out and to trust in him more? Or maybe even to continue to tie to the church in this trying time of not having employment, not working, the fear of not being able to pay your bills, or do you still have that faith in order to give to God first? Those are infallible proofs. Those are signs and facts that, guess what? He truly rose again because we're giving it unto the Lord. So I think we need to ask ourselves that. What does the Lord have to do for you in order for you to get involved, even in a time like this? How can I get involved? We're supposed to stay home. Talk to your neighbors through your kitchen window. Go out into the streets and shout to your neighbors about Jesus. You know, people are singing. They're out there playing the guitars. The sheriff's department is traveling, and they're playing their guitars and singing to people in homes. I mean, we still have a purpose, and we still have a job to do as Christians. We're not determining our work for God and our worship of God on this COVID-19. We gotta still fight the good fight. So I think we gotta remember, think about Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 12. You know, Thomas said, hey, when Jesus, he proved himself, he resurrected to everybody, but Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas says, hey, I'm not going to believe this resurrection unless I can put my hand into the womb of his side and the nail prints into his hands. I mean, and then the following week when Jesus finally appeared in front of Thomas, Jesus looked at him, he said, hey, Thomas, put your hand in my side. Touch my wounds. Then all of a sudden, Thomas's eyes were open and he realized this. Now, this is important. Listen to what I'm going to say. Thomas realized that even though he didn't see Jesus, Jesus had seen him. I mean, this story should be proof enough to know that even though we may not see him or feel him, Jesus is with us. And if Jesus did not see Thomas, then the first thing that Jesus said to Thomas is he didn't say, hi, Thomas, how you doing? How you been? He said, Thomas, put your hand here in my side. Thomas, put your finger in the hole of my handprint. That's the first thing he said. So even though Thomas didn't see Jesus, Jesus saw Thomas. You know, I encourage you guys to read about how the disciples' lives, they were changed by the resurrection of Jesus. And after he had been, remember after he had been arrested, they all scattered in the garden because why? They feared for their lives. All of a sudden, Jesus rose from the dead, and now guess what? They're on fire for him. They're preaching the gospel, and they're turning the world upside down for Christ, even unto their death. So the question is this morning, are you a Theophilus? Are you a lover of God? And if you are you one with authority? Do you people look at and say, hey, that person loves God with authority. He's not like the others who doesn't love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. They love God with all authority. Are you witnessing at all times and not just with your words, but with your actions? And if you're not this morning, then you need to pray and you need to ask the Lord to make you a lover of him and to make you to be a witness at all times and to have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. And if you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, then you need to become a lover of God by praying and asking Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. And so I want to give that opportunity right now. If you're listening this morning, you have never accepted Jesus, and you say, it's time, I want to, then I want you to repeat after me. Just pray and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I fall short. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to take over my life, to change me, and to make me a lover of God. To make me a lover of all that is good, all that is righteous, that I can live for you for eternity. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. And if you have done this morning, call us and look up Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. You can look up on our website there and give us a call. We'll help you get a Bible. If you need anything, call us. And also don't forget that if you need prayer, then please go online. There's a box there for prayer. You can submit your prayer, and that prayer will be sent out to the prayer warriors. So again, we don't stop asking for prayer. We don't stop serving the Lord. And we don't stop sharing Jesus with others. So this morning, have a blessed time with your moms and with your wives and with your children and whatever you're going to do for Mother's Day. But just remember, Jesus sees you. Amen. God bless you. And Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you that you are well and alive here with us. And Lord, we wait for the day when we will look up and because our redemption will draw near. So bless us, Lord, and we want to be a blessing for you, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.